From the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the latest fallout from the disappearance of that Saudi journalist.
U.S. futures and European equities gain while the sell-off in Chinese stocks continues.
Wall Street awaits earnings from Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and Netflix.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has landed in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman, plus a defeat for Stormy Daniels' lawsuit against President Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Milwaukee Brewers shut out the Dodgers in L.A. and lead the NLCS 2-1. Aaron Rodgers rallied the Packers to a last-second win over the 49ers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at ibkr.com.
U.S. futures and European equities are higher after a mixed session in Asia. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 11 points. Dow futures up 99. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 1.25%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 3.16%, yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 53 cents to $71.25 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.50 to $12.31.80 an ounce. The euro $1.1571 and the yen 112.12. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest fallout from the disappearance of that Saudi journalist. Saudi Arabia appears to be in damage control mode, with CNN saying it's preparing to say Jamal Khashoggi died in a botched investigation. Bloomberg's Zainab Fattah has more on that report from Dubai.
They will say that he died, that it was an interrogation. They did not intend to kill him. This was not approved by the high level within the royal court. They may say this, or they may come out and hold firm to their old story, which is they don't know. It remains to be seen.
Saudi Arabia's benchmark stock index tumbled more than 4% on the news, but it has since erased those losses.
And business leaders are pulling out of an upcoming Saudi investment conference in droves. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Executives from Google, Credit Suisse, HSBC, JP Morgan, Ford Motor, Airbus, Blackstone, KKR, BlackRock, Bain Capital, Uber, Viacom, MasterCard, and HP are among those choosing not to attend the event. Microsoft is monitoring the situation, with the CEO Satya Nadella expressing concern about what this will mean for the Saudi kingdom.
It's, I think, a real step back, because I was very hopeful for Saudi Arabia in terms of the opportunity for the citizens there, the women of Saudi Arabia, and the small businesses as reforms were going to be put in place.
President Trump is uncertain whether his administration will participate in the Saudi conference, saying that Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin will decide by Friday whether to attend. Bloomberg is also among media partners that have pulled out of the event. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It was a mixed session for stocks in Asia today, with Japan outperforming and Chinese equities continuing their slump. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It was a buy-the-dip scenario in Asia. The MSCI Asia-Pacific Index pushed higher by gains in Tokyo, Hong Kong, Australia and Taiwan, while jitters remained amongst traders in mainland China. The TOPIX Index climbed 0.7%, rebounding from its lowest level since March, while the CSI 300 closed down by 0.8% in China to 3,100 points to remain at its lowest level since the Brexit vote in June 2016. But trading volumes across Asia were low ahead of a public holiday Wednesday in Hong Kong. Juliet Sally, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Meanwhile, in China, consumer inflation accelerated for a fourth month in September. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
CPI rose 2.5% from a year earlier, in line with a Bloomberg survey of economists, and faster than the 2.3% report in August. Food prices jumped the most since February, but the rise in other household costs slowed. The PPI was up 3.6%, down from the previous 4.1%. Now, that slowdown of factory prices will hurt company profits, where growth is weaker. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Brian. U.S. investment bank earnings are in focus with results from Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley due out this morning. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Ballinger.
Goldman's sequential numbers will likely show there was a seasonal drop from the second quarter, and the timing of some M&A closings may shift some revenue into the fourth quarter. But strength in initial public offerings should have boosted equity capital market fees. Morgan Stanley's third quarter results were likely boosted by U.S. equity price strength and related underwriting. Analysts are looking for Goldman Sachs to post an adjusted profit of $5.38 a share on revenue topping $8.33 billion. Morgan Stanley's adjusted profit is seen coming in at $1 a share on revenue of more than $9.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We also get results from Netflix later in the day. Paul Sweeney is director of North American Research for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Once again, investors will be focusing on the net subscriber add number. This quarter, they're looking for about 5 million. We think that is a number that they can hit and maybe even exceed. But last quarter, they missed on this very important metric, and the stock took a big hit on that news.
So far this year, Netflix is the best performing FANG stock. Its results will be closely watched following the recent sell-off in tech.
Shares of United Health are up 1% in early trading after reporting earnings that topped estimates. United Health is also boosting its forecast for the year.
Shares of Adobe up 5% in early trading. The software maker gave a bullish sales forecast for next year, signaling its expanding product suite will continue to attract customers.
Shares of Volvo are down 5% in Stockholm. The world's second biggest truck maker says it uncovered a faulty emissions component and the cost to fix the issue could be significant.
Prosecutors in Germany are fining Audi $927 million over issues related to its diesel vehicles. Volkswagen's Audi unit says it accepts the fine and admits responsibility for deviations from regulatory requirements for some of its diesel cars. Futures are higher. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has arrived in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman over the disappearance and alleged slaying of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. Pompeo landed this morning in Riyadh and was to immediately meet the king over the crisis surrounding Khashoggi, who disappeared 2 weeks ago on a visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary James Mattis in Vietnam says he will defer to President Trump and Pompeo about Khashoggi. Mattis says he needs more facts before making conclusions.
I know it's unusual at times in government circles. Some people talk quickly.
Mattis, when asked about President Trump's comments during a 60 Minutes interview, said that he might be a Democrat. According to Mattis, he replied he has never registered for any political party. Florida Panhandle residents are struggling to locate friends and loved ones who haven't been heard from since Hurricane Michael. President Trump visited the devastated zone yesterday.
We just left Florida, and they are so thrilled with what's happened with our people, our talent. But they're not thrilled about this hurricane because this was brutal. They haven't seen anything like it.
The death toll from Michael's trek from Florida to Virginia is at 17. Adult film actress Stormy Daniels' libel lawsuit over a tweet by President Trump accusing her of a total con job was thrown out by a judge who said the president was engaging in free speech. Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft in 1975 with Bill Gates, has died of cancer. Allen also owned the NBA's Portland Trailblazers and the NFL's Seattle Seahawks. Paul Allen was 65. Officials from North and South Korea and the United Nations are meeting to work out the details of disarming one of the world's most fortified borders. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
The talks are focused on removing landmines, estimated at more than 1 million, and reducing military guard stations on both sides of the so-called DMZ, or the Demilitarized Zone. The talks come as U.S. has expressed discontent with South Korea for moving forward with inter-Korean project without consulting U.S. officials, who fear such pacts could undermine their nuclear disarmament talks with North Korea. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 now on Wall Street. Time for a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Sunday night was for the Boston sports fan. Red Sox, Patriots playing simultaneously. Both teams won. Last night was for fans in Wisconsin. The Brewers playing Game 3 of the NLCS in L.A. while the Packers hosted the 49ers, and two wins for the Cheeseheads. The Brewers only lost once in their last 14 games. They downed the Dodgers 4-0 to take a 2-1 series lead. Yulius Chacin pitched into the sixth inning. Bullpen took over from there. The manager, Craig Counsell, knows the key to their winning lately has been the rotation.
Our guys that we're giving the ball to at the start of the game, they're doing a heck of a job, man. And they are they're setting the tone really for games. They're putting us in a good position. They're putting us in a very advantageous position to use our guys in the bullpen. And then that's going to lead to wins.
Game 4 tonight in L.A. at Lambeau Field. The Packers were getting upset by the 49ers. They trailed late.
Rodgers in the shotgun formation. He gets the snap and he backpedals three. He cocks his arm and throws a pass in the back of the end zone. Backpedaling catch. Touchdown! A backpedaling two-handed catch in the corner. Javonte Adams. A strike of 16 yards. And Green Bay is an extra point away from tying this game with under 2 minutes to play in regulation.
Westwood won the call, and the Packers weren't done there. An interception, and Aaron Rodgers led them downfield again. And Mason Crosby, who missed five kicks last Sunday, made a game-winning field goal the night after the Patriots won 43-40. The Packers won 33-30. Rodgers with the second straight 300-yard passing game. Ready or not, NBA season tips off tonight. Sixers and Celtics in Boston, Oklahoma City at Golden State, who's going for a third straight championship. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Now, already that time of year. Thank you, John. S&P futures modestly higher, up 9 points. That's a gain of 0.3%. Dow futures ahead by nearly 0.4%, or 97 points. NASDAQ futures up 37. That is a gain of 0.5%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Bloomberg Surveillance. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Erin Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, Karen. In addition to earnings from Goldman and Morgan Stanley, results from Netflix will be closely watched this afternoon. It's the first FANG stock to report and will be looking to redeem itself after missing subscriber estimates in the previous quarter. Mike Pompeo landed in Saudi Arabia to meet with King Salman. The visit from the Secretary of State comes as CNN reports Saudi Arabia plans to say journalist Jamal Khashoggi died in a botched investigation. The new two-month Treasury bill debuts today as the government adds another security to help finance the growing budget deficit. The Treasury will sell $25 billion of bills in the new eight-week auctions and $40 billion of four-week bills. And hedge fund returns fell in September for the second straight month. Of the seven strategies tracked by our Bloomberg Hedge Fund database, the best performers were fixed income directional bets and fixed income relative value. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Erin, thank you. And we're also watching earnings this morning with BlackRock reporting third quarter adjusted profit. That'd be the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed. And United Health also beating analyst estimates this morning. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 10 points. Dow futures up 96. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 0.3%. Yield 3.16%. Yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down $0.72 to $71.06 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $12.31.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1572. The yen, 112.10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a hazardous materials team was dispatched to the home of Republican Senator Susan Collins after her husband received a letter with a note saying the envelope contained ricin. The FBI said preliminary tests on the letter and its contents indicated that there was no threat to the public and the Maine senator and her husband were allowed to stay in the home. It is unclear who sent the letter, but Collins is facing criticism following her decision to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. In baseball, the Brewers have a 2-1 lead over the Dodgers in the NLCS. Milwaukee shut out Los Angeles 4-0. Monday Night Football, the Packers beat the 49ers in a come-from-behind win, 33-30. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. The parade of earnings continues with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley reporting this morning. Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Allison Williams is here to get us ready. Allison, good morning to you. What have we learned from the financials so far that have reported that will mean anything for Goldman and Morgan?
Sure. So most of the takeaways, I would say, relate more towards the broader traditional U.S. economy, but specific to the capital markets business, which is really a focus for Goldman and Morgan Stanley. Equities trading coming in modestly better than expected, but generally a strong area for the companies. We expect to see similar from Goldman and Morgan Stanley. They are the biggest in global equity trading and U.S. equity trading. They're also the biggest in IPOs and underwriting along with J.P. Morgan. And in fact, Goldman is the leader in IPOs this year, gaining some share. That's been an area of strength, especially in the U.S.
That's, what, up about 13% this year, equity issuance and IPOs. So, yeah, that bodes well for them. Corporations in the United States, they have been turning to capital markets, a little less so with traditional lending. So that's got to be good for these companies this morning.
Well, the one thing I think we will be watching relates to competition. That was something that we heard a lot about from Bank of America yesterday. So they did talk about the competition from the capital markets, as you mentioned. However, they also talked about competition from the non-banks in some of the leveraged lending space. And so we're going to want to see how that plays out. Goldman and Morgan Stanley have actually outperformed on the debt capital markets side this year, and that really relates to, I think, where some of the strength has been, so more strategic type financing versus the vanilla debt offerings that Bank of America, JP Morgan, Citi are really the leadership in.
As far as commodities, what is that going to bode for these two?
Commodities should be a help for Goldman Sachs. Their fixed income trading really underperformed in 2017, and a lot of that was due to some of the weakness in commodities, and we've seen outperformance this year, again, helped by a turn in that business. JP Morgan talked about the business normalizing as one of the helps to its business in the quarter, and so hopefully we'll see some of that at Goldman as well.
The underlying economy, how important is that for them? And will the earnings reports from the financials back that up? How closely are they intertwined?
The underlying economy is important for them because even though markets can be more volatile, the capital markets businesses, GDP still really is the core driver. So the U.S. economy, obviously more important for those who are U.S. focused and have the big traditional lending books. But good economic health tends to drive, financing, growth, healthy capital markets. The other side of it is, market prices and volatility. That's really sort of a change we've seen on the margin in October. And so that may have an impact on the outlook going forward.
Any thoughts on why the financials have underperformed? Why have they been so unloved by investors?
To some extent, I think that the underperformance this year is probably just some catch up. You know, we had the big move after the election in 2016. We had performance in line with a strong market in 2017. And then coming, and I think a lot of that was really anticipating a lot of the strength that we've seen this year. And with the quarter, investors are really looking for sort of what's next. And instead, we've gotten a lot of the surprises from loan loss reserve releases because credit is very strong, and that's wonderful, and that will support earnings next year. But we really need loan growth to be sort of the next revenue growth driver. We've had the interest margin hikes. That's come through. We're looking at some risks in terms of the yield curve and deposit pricing, so we really need the loan growth, and we're not getting it.
Always good to see you. Allison Williams from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, access this function at BIGO. Ahead of the market open, S&P futures right now are 12 points higher. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And at 6:30 on Wall Street, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are mostly higher as investors await the next wave of corporate earnings, beginning this morning with Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley reporting results.
And then after the bell, we hear from the first of the big tech companies. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more on the upcoming results from Netflix.
This report takes on additional scrutiny after last week's technology rout. Netflix is one of the first major U.S. companies to report third quarter results and 2018's best performing FANG stock. Netflix is also looking to redeem itself after missing subscriber estimates in the previous quarter, a whiff that sent the stock on its worst one-day tumble in 2 years. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Adobe are up almost 6%. The company gave a bullish sales forecast for next year, signaling the software maker's expanding product suite will continue to attract customers.
BlackRock is reporting earnings that topped the highest analyst estimate. Revenue also beat, while total assets under management came in slightly below estimates.
United Health is out with earnings that topped expectations. The company's also boosting its forecast for the year.
In Europe, shares of Volvo are down more than 5%. The world's second biggest truck maker uncovered a faulty component in the emission control setup of its trucks.
Italian assets are rallying after the government reached an agreement on the budget accord to be submitted to the European Union.
UK wages are growing at their fastest pace in almost a decade. Average earnings excluding bonuses rose 3.1% in the 3 months through August. Meanwhile, unemployment held at a 43-year low of 4%.
Coming up on 6:32 on Wall Street, time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 21.30. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 20.10. That is this morning's Volatility report.
And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 127, and NASDAQ futures up 45. The DAX in Germany is up a third of a percent, CAC in Paris up a quarter of a percent, and the FTSE 100 is down about 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.17%, the yield on the 2-year 2.86%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8%, down 60 cents to $71.18 a barrel. And COMEX gold rising up 0.1%, up $1.40 to $12.31.70 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1572 and the yen is at 112.09. And getting Walmart crossing the Bloomberg bill of details straight ahead.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 now on Wall Street. Time to tell you more of what's going on around the world. This news update brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia to speak to its king over the disappearance and alleged slaying of Saudi writer Jamal Khashoggi. It comes as a Turkish police forensics team wrapped up its search of the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. CNN is reporting Saudi Arabia soon may concede Khashoggi was killed at the consulate in an interrogation. Meanwhile, several participants of a Saudi investment conference have withdrawn, including Bloomberg, who was among media partners that have pulled out of the event. A U.S. district judge has thrown out a libel suit against President Trump filed by Stormy Daniels. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The issue is a tweet by Donald Trump accusing her of a total con job after she claimed that she was threatened by a man in a Las Vegas parking lot. The judge said the president was engaging in constitutionally protected free speech and includes rhetorical hyperbole normally associated with politics and public discourse in the U.S. He went on to say the First Amendment protects this type of rhetorical statement. Daniel's attorney says this will be appealed and is confident in reversal. Michael Avenatti says there is something really rich in Donald Trump relying on the First Amendment to justify defaming a woman. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is vowing to investigate a state employee's claim that she was sexually assaulted by a man who went on to work in the governor's administration. The Democratic governor also told reporters that he won't conduct a sham investigation or mock victims.
All of us in public life have a responsibility to lead by example in creating a culture of respect where victims can feel empowered to step forward with their stories and to know their stories will be believed and appropriately handled.
Paul Allen, who co-founded Microsoft in 1975 with Bill Gates, has died of cancer. Bill Hilf from Allen's investment firm Vulcan says Allen influenced many aspects of modern life, from technology and science to sports and music.
Paul had a tremendously huge vision on how to improve the world. And a big part of our forward plans are to help realize that vision and to continue what he wanted to get done.
Paul Allen with 65. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Milwaukee Brewers only won the pennant once. That was 36 years ago. They were in a different league then. They're now in the National League, and they're two wins from going to the World Series. Brewers, coming off a blown lead in Game 2, scored first inning in L.A. on a Ryan Braun double, stayed 1-0 until the sixth. Travis Shaw, two-out triple, he scored on a wild pitch. And then in the seventh.
0-1 pitch. Fly ball down the right field line. Going back is Puig on the warning track. At the wall, it's gone! Orlando Arcia goes the other way. It's 4-0 Brewers.
Brewers radio, 4-0 was the final. Dodgers had only five hits, though they did have two great chances. Bases loaded, one out in both the second and ninth innings, couldn't score. So the NLCS 2-1 Milwaukee, Game 4 tonight in L.A., the coming after Game 3, the ALCS in Houston. Astros and Red Sox tied at 1. Good Monday nighter. Packers heavily favored, but they trailed the 49ers. A late Aaron Rodgers TD pass tied the game, and then an interception led to a last-second field goal by Mason Crosby, who had missed five kicks last week. Green Bay over the Niners, 33-30. Next week's Monday nighter is the Giants in Atlanta. Big Blue 1-5. Eli Manning feeling the heat and asked how the rookie coach Pat Shurmur is doing.
I think coach has handled it well. It's obviously tough. It's tough on everyone. No one likes losing. No one likes being in this position. So it's the guys, the teams that are tough and that can fight through it and get through it and make something of it.
Jets Sunday will host the Vikings. They'll be without wideout Quincy Enunwa. He's got a high ankle sprain. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Let's get you details now on that headline from Walmart. The retailer is boosting its forecast for 2020, saying it expects growth of 2.5% to 3%. That compares to initial estimates of 2.2%. Shares of Walmart are up nearly 1% in early trading. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. Leading up to the 2008 financial crisis, U.S. homeowners took on debts that would have been affordable only in an improbably benign world. 10 years later, many of the largest U.S. corporations are getting into a similar predicament. It's too early to say whether the rising indebtedness will lead to another financial disaster, but one thing is certain, there's no good reason for the government to encourage it. The tax code pushes homeowners and businesses to take on more debt by providing breaks on interest payments. The Trump administration has made the problem worse by reversing regulators' efforts to curb some of the riskiest lending. But the more leverage there is, the more fragile the economy will be when the next downturn comes. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report with Bob Moon.
Whatever you do, don't call it a tax. Voters in the state of Washington will go to the polls November 6th to decide whether or not they want to impose a first-of-its-kind fee on carbon emissions. Ballot Initiative 1631 marks the second time the state will vote to put a cost on emissions. A prior effort labeled a carbon tax failed when it was on the ballot 2 years ago. Proponents, including Democratic Governor Jay Inslee and Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, are hoping the new proposal, which the state estimates would raise $2.3 billion for clean energy investment by 2025, will win more backing. If passed, it would be the first effort of its kind enacted by referendum anywhere in the world, making the state a global leader in climate policy. At the same time, the Trump administration is reversing some federal measures. The idea is to make carbon pollution more expensive, so people will use less fossil fuel. Washington already produces more hydroelectric power than any other state, more than double Oregon, which ranks second. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. Coming up today, we get data on U.S. industrial output at 9:15 a.m. on Wall Street. Economists forecast industrial production increased at a slower pace in September, rising just 0.2%. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The prior report showed industrial production rose 0.4% in August, the third consecutive gain. Bloomberg Economics says today's report could show utility and mining output offset what's expected to be a lackluster reading on manufacturing. The Fed's data could also reflect the impact of Hurricane Florence. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Looking at gains in futures contracts, with S&P futures up 13 points or nearly half a percent. Dow futures up a half percent or 130 points. NASDAQ futures up by 45. Coming up, the morning call brought to you by Columbia Bank. With 48 locations across New Jersey, you're never far from their wide range of banking solutions. From personal to business banking, mobile and online, you can always count on Columbia. Visit ColumbiaBankOnline.com.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It has been a busy morning for corporate earnings. We've just heard from Johnson & Johnson reporting a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates and it boosted its outlook for the year. Futures, meanwhile, also moving higher. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading high right now, with Dow futures up 122 points. S&P's gained 12, with the NASDAQ futures climbed by 44. The U.S. 10-year at 3.17%. Oil is lower, and Japan gained 1.3% overnight, while European markets are trading mostly higher, led by 1% gains in Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:15, industrial production, and at 10 o'clock, the NHB Housing Market Index. Regarding other earnings this morning, BlackRock beat estimates, and look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7 o'clock, Goldman Sachs around 7:30. In deal news, Twilio to buy SendGrid for $2 billion. And wrapping things up, Las Vegas Sands was upgraded to buy over at HSBC. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Care.
All right, Bill, thank you. And as we've been mentioning, Walmart is boosting its forecast for 2020, saying it expects growth of 2.5 to 3%, and that compares to initial estimate of 2.2%. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Turkish foreign ministry official says Turkish authorities will search the residence of the top Saudi diplomat in Istanbul over missing journalist Jamal Khashoggi's disappearance. The official did not say when the search of the consul's home would take place. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, to meet with King Salman about Khashoggi. President Trump's reelection effort raised $18 million in the third quarter, bringing his total since taking office to $108.1 million. That's an unusual amount for a president in the first 2 years of his term. In baseball, the Brewers have a 2-1 lead over the Dodgers in the NLCS. Milwaukee shut out Los Angeles 4-0. Monday Night Football, the Packers beat the 49ers in a come-from-behind win, 33-30. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, climate change is said to have an impact on beer and could cause a shortage. Lordy, no. Researchers say if global warming continues, extreme heat and drought will threaten barley They say beer prices could more than double in drought years. Ireland and Canada could see a more than 200% jump in prices, according to the study in Nature Plants. And Nathan, U.S. drinkers may see prices climb 34%.
Well, as if it weren't bad enough for Ireland and Canada, all I got to say, Michael, I'm going to say it. If that don't drive you to drinking.
I'm stocking up at my house. That's all. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. You can come by. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right. Bottoms up, Michael. Thanks very much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin presides over a meeting of the Financial Stability Oversight Council this afternoon. We'll take a look at banks deemed too big to fail. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce holds an event this morning in Washington on the business of health. And the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Kara Stein, speaks this morning at the Brookings Institution. Also this morning, of course, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Saudi Arabia meeting with King Salman, and soon to meet as well with Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman over the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Joined now by Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. And of course, Kevin, before Pompeo arrived, we got sort of mixed messages about the explanation behind the Saudi dissident journalist's disappearance. President Trump had his view. Now we're getting reports from CNN that this could be due to a botched investigation. How could this play out?
Well, that's exactly what Secretary Pompeo needs to figure out, is what is going to be the explanation from the Saudis. Now, the Turkish officials have said that they feel that they have the evidence to suggest that the Saudis had murdered Jamal Khashoggi. And all of these details really come at a time in which the Saudis, you know, are preparing for Davos in the desert. We should note as a disclaimer that Bloomberg is one of the organizers that has joined others in pulling out of that event. Secretary Mnuchin is still scheduled to attend it. It comes at a time, and these are the three points that I make. It comes at a time, first and foremost, where the Saudis and the Israelis have been trending, not just within this administration, but in previous administrations, toward more of a better relationship, particularly with the mutual threat of Iran and the U.S. pulling out of the Iran nuclear disarmament deal. The second is it comes at a time in which the U.S. had committed $110 billion to the Saudis over a 10-year window or so, only a fraction of which has been implemented. But this is the third point, is that when that deal was announced during the president's first international trip abroad, you had Democrats speaking out against it and voting against an approval of it. And now, just within the past 10 days, you have Republicans raising those concerns, and not just the likes of Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, but also Senator Lindsey Graham and also Bob Corker.
Now, it has been fascinating to watch the pullout, this dramatic wave of business and certain government interests pulling out of this so-called Davos in the desert. It's almost becoming a story of who's left in this event as opposed to who isn't participating. What does that do to the image of Mohammed bin Salman, somebody who's trying to put himself out as a reformer, to turn himself more to the West and to diversify his country's oil-based economy?
You know, and you know better than anyone, just that charm offensive that King MBS had really put on to not just the U.S., but to the entire world. This is a young, charismatic leader, someone who had developed a personal relationship with Jared Kushner. They had really developed and fostered a friendship, but also a relationship of what they had hoped would be of mutual benefit for both countries. And you know what this does? This is without question King Salman's first international test. This is him on the global stage during an international crisis in which the beginning of his tenure is really, really in question. And it also forces pressure on him in a way that they had tried to suggest to the international community that they were trending more towards taking steps, very small ones, towards equality. We remember how they overturned the cleric rulings of women not being able to drive in cars just this year. So this is a huge test. And here inside of the Beltway, I can tell you that the Saudis have a very elaborate lobbying operation here inside of Washington.
Let's turn from the president's relationships with global leaders to relationships within his own cabinet. Is Defense Secretary Mattis on the way out?
Well, that's what everybody wants to know. And you know, I think that the president has said, and he said this in 60 Minutes, that, you know, people come and go in Washington. But for Secretary Mattis, the timing couldn't be worse to have these reports, particularly with the Saudi story.
And the president saying that he almost thinks of Mattis as a Democrat, it makes it seem as though perhaps he might be a bit on the outs. And at the same time, Mattis is asserting himself on the global stage as well, particularly with China now.
And Nathan, I've heard the president criticize many, many people, the media included.
You think?
But to call someone a Democrat, I don't think that's a good sign.
All right. Real quickly, you've got a big newsmaker event coming up in just a couple of hours. It's going to be heard here on Bloomberg Radio and television. What are you going to be talking about today with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell?
Well, we're going to talk about the Saudis. We're going to ask him about trade. And really this idea of what has happened to the midterm elections, particularly since Justice Kavanaugh has been confirmed to the Supreme Court. And, you know, maybe we could even ask about some Kentucky bourbon. I mean, and tariffs.
The tariff picture, absolutely.
You know? I mean, like, yeah. But if you have any questions, you always think of the best questions. So thank you, Nathan.
All right. We'll be watching and listening for that right around 9 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television. That interview coming up with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, courtesy of Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Thanks so much for all this and more. You can read more about these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And, of course, you can follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. I'm watching Morgan Stanley cross the Bloomberg right now. Third quarter net revenue beating analyst estimates, coming at $9.9 billion. Dollars. It's third quarter profit, $1.17 a share. It's third quarter investment banking revenue coming in at $1.57 billion. That beating analyst estimates. Again, this all just crossing the Bloomberg right now, and there'll be more details on Bloomberg surveillance, which is straight ahead right here on Bloomberg Radio. It is time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Yeah, and good morning, Karen. If you're a small business, be it a dentist office or a barber shop, and you stream music for your customers' enjoyment, you're probably doing it illegally. You're supposed to have a commercial use license. Nielsen Music interviewed about 5,000 small business owners in the U.S., U.K., Sweden, Spain, Italy, Germany, and France. They found 83% of those that play background music incorrectly use personal accounts. Nielsen estimates 21.3 million businesses use consumer services globally, costing artists billions in lower payments. A cafe or shop owner pays about $10 for a consumer service as opposed to $35 a month for a commercial license. In comes the company Soundtrack. That's a Stockholm-based startup that's hoping to replicate the success Spotify had in weaning customers off pirated music or illegal streaming, but in commercial settings. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you again. We're watching Morgan Stanley in the early trade up about 1.2% right now. Again, we said it's investment banking revenue beating analyst estimates, and that, again, just crossing the Bloomberg right now. More details coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. And we are watching futures this morning. S&P futures up about 12 points right now. Dow futures up 115. NASDAQ futures up 44. And the 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 3.16%. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.